Morning, everyone.
Morning.
Let's always stand up one more time, please. Hallelujah. Are you happy this morning?
Yes.
Why don't you turn around right now and give someone a high five and say, I'm so glad to see you here this morning. Hallelujah. You may be sitting now. Hallelujah. Praise God. We can release our kids now. They can go. Last Sunday we had 26 kids. But this Sunday is half term. They are around. Somewhere enjoying life. Amen. And the half term we don't go away. We receive our kids in our house. That's our holiday. It's a very hard holiday. You know that program, four in the bed? We have five in the bed.
And more. Keep on growing.
Yeah. God is good. Amen. Praise God. Just want to say welcome to those who are connecting by the internet. Welcome everyone. Hope you enjoy this whole service. What amazing worship this morning, isn't it?
Yes.
Praise God. God. Hallelujah. I'm very excited this morning because I feel in my heart that God is taking us into the next level.
Amen.
Do you believe that?
Yes.
Could you tell somebody, God is taking you to the next level? Be prepared. Be prepared. Please tell me something. Okay. Tell me something that is about to happen with you. And then you, of course, you can let us know. Nothing is about to happen with you.
Amen.
What else? Are you going to a new job? Are you going to a new college? Are you, you know, in a new marriage? Honeymoon? You know?
Baby.
Are you going to have a car? Just got your driving license? Baby is coming. Baby Marcus. It's coming July.
Amen.
Well, one more to sleep in my bed. God makes new everything.
Yes, yes.
Amen.
Amen.
Do you know what is the horrible thing in a Christian life? If we can, we feel we could call this a Christian life, is monotony. It's something, nothing new happened.
Stagnation,
being stuck in any circumstance. Oh, do you remember that cartoon? I always say that cartoon. All life, all heart, all my headache, all my house, all, you know, you don't remember this cartoon, don't you?
No.
Do you remember this cartoon?
No.
55 years old, 62 years old. If you remember this cartoon, I can tell your age. Try on internet, you're gonna see why I have this example always. Because I grew up watching this cartoon, you know? But I didn't get that characters to be complaining all the time. Oh, life. It's a hyena. She does it all the time. You know, it's horrible. It's horrible when life has no meaning. Nothing new is about to happen. You have to do something new, you know? When I used to take my kids to school every morning, sometimes I used to get a different way. And they always, "Dad, where are you going?" I said, "I'm taking you into the school. But this is not the way. Who said to me that I need to do every day in the same way?" Sometimes I used to take a longer way just to be different. Because I hate when I have to do the same thing every day, to say the same thing every day. I don't like it. I like new things happening. Because the sun rises every morning in a new way. And every day that you receive a new day to live, to breathe, to do something different. Don't go to your job to do the same thing every day. "Oh, my job." Don't complain. This is a day that the Lord has made. And this verse is for every single day of the week, not just Sunday morning. There are lots of Christians, not you guys, just people from other church, that they live a good day just on Sunday morning. And good life or eternal life is just when they die and go to heaven. No! As soon as you accept Jesus, eternal life has started. As soon as you accept Jesus, a new life has begun in your life. Amen? Something new is about to happen every single day. Do not allow life to be so tough that every single day is going to be the same thing. I know you go to the same job, you go, you know, to the same thing, you go, you take the same bus, you see the same people in the train every morning. You see the same people as they are your neighbors, but try to do something different, you know? And I used to live in a big building in Brazil before we come to UK. And that was horrible when we got the elevator, the lift in the morning, because you meet people in the lift and you just say, "Morning." Yeah, nice day. Yeah, I think it's gonna rain today. Yeah, probably. "Hello, bye." "Okay, have a good day." What a horrible conversation. It's much better if you could say, "Would you like to have a breakfast with me this morning before you go to your job? Would you like to have a lunch sometime? Would you like to go to a cinema with me today?" You know? So let's do something different and make life exciting. Because when life loses its characters, life becomes horrible. That's why people become bored. That's why people become depressed. And that's why people commit suicide. Say with me, I will never do this. Because Jesus is the new thing every day in my life. Amen? So, in terms of when we talk about God, when we talk about religion, when we talk about faith, we are normally tempted to consider Christianity as religion, as something that we have to do. I have to be there on Sunday morning. I have to give my tithe and offering. I have to do something. I have to play. I have to do computers. I need to do something because I'm a Christian. But when we consider in this way, even Christian life stops becoming Christian life. Becomes a religious life. Say with me, religious life.
Religious life.
And we have to flee from this. Every kind of religiosity, we must flee from this in the name of Jesus. Why? Because Jesus is the new every day.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. So I want to talk to you today, this morning, about from the hypocrisy of religion going to the truth of Christianity. Let's flee from this hypocrisy of religion and go to the truth of Christianity. Are you happy for that?
Yeah.
Okay. I want to read you with you Ephesians chapter 4. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 20 to 30. 10 verse. If you don't have a Bible, please buy one. Or download one or two in your device. You can have different versions, all right? The Bible says in Ephesians 4, Paul says in this letter, chapter 4, verse 20, but you have not so learned Christ, if indeed you have heard him and have been taught by him, and the truth is in Jesus. Can I hear amen?
Amen.
As the truth is in Jesus, that you, what is the truth? That you put off concerning your former conduct, the old man which grows corrupt according to the deceitful lusts, and be renewed. Say with me, be renewed.
Be renewed.
Be renewed in the spirit of your mind. And that you put on the new man which was created according to God in the true righteousness and holiness. Therefore, putting away lying, let each one of you speak the truth with his neighbor, for we are members of one another. Be angry and do not sin. Is that possible? Yes. Do not let your sun go down on your wrath, nor give place to the devil. Let him who stole steal no longer, but rather let him labor, working with his hands what is good, that he may have something to give him to the one who has need. Verse 29, let no corrupt word proceed out of your mouth, but what is good for necessary edification, that it may impart grace to the hearers. And do not grieve, say with me, grieve. Do not grieve the Holy Spirit, by whom you were sealed for the day of redemption. Let's pray. Holy Spirit, we come to you this morning, Lord. And we pray and we ask you now that you may anoint our minds, our heart, our ears, and let us tune our ears to hear your voice this morning, Lord. Let no preoccupation come into our heart right now. Anything that we need to sort it out tomorrow is going to be for tomorrow, not today. Today, we are here to hear your voice. And let us be focused on it and grab from your word everything we need to grab, everything you have prepared already for us. We just pray in the name of Jesus.
Amen.
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 I know you guys know this passage very well, and Paul is talking about the way we behave once we are in a new life with Jesus Christ. So Jesus has called us to live a new life. Say with me, new life.
Amen.
And that means to complete abandon the old things you used to do and believe. We must understand that the gospel does not have the function of putting on makeup, but rather to bring a total transformation from inside out in those who surrender themselves into this wonderful process of recreation made by the power of the Holy Spirit. So friends, coming to Jesus is not doing a makeup. What ladies do every morning when they leave the house, some people, some ladies, they still do this just to stay at home. I love it, no problem. As long as you improve yourself, do it, whatever you want to do it. Amen? So spend hours. Some ladies, they spend hours, minutes, in front of the mirror, putting some stuff. And sometimes we find some videos of other ladies telling them about other products, and to spend even more time in front of the mirror. Keep doing this. Your husband, say amen. We are not against it whatsoever, okay? Please do it. Improve yourself always, because this is good for your, if you do this for your husband. Don't do this for somebody else, for your husband. Amen? Are you with me, ladies? So, but Christianity is not a making up. Christianity is not a, when you come to Jesus, you accept Jesus, and then you receive a kit of products that you have to use at home. Now, every morning you have to make yourself up with using that product. Actually, when people come to Jesus, and they accept Jesus, and they need to have a kit, and this kit is called Bible. Bible brings us all the best makeup we want to do in our heart, not in our face, but in our heart. Amen? Amen. So makeup definition is cosmetics applied to the face to improve or change your appearance. Christianity is not about improving. Amen. Say with me, Christianity is not about improving. It's about changing. Restoring. Making new. You don't need to repeat that. As long as you want to. That is what religion does. Just giving makeup. Just improving people. Just putting labels. Did I ever say this story to you when I was at home and I said, wow, I'm really, that was in Brazil many, many years ago. And there's a dish in Brazil, very characteristic in Brazil, that I love. It's called feijoada.
I love it.
Yeah. And you can buy it in a can. If you don't know how to do this, you can buy it and just heat it. And one day I was at home and I was alone and I said, wow, I really want to eat feijoada today. And but I have nothing. So I'm gonna go to the supermarket and I'm gonna buy the best one, the can. And I know how to open the can and heat it. And it's the only thing I can do in the kitchen, and fry eggs, all right? So I did it. When I went to the supermarket, I saw different brands, different makes, and I chose the best label, because I said, wow, this is the label, and that means this label is all they have inside of the can. And I bought the best one, the expensive one, and I said, wow, when I get home, I'm gonna eat it. When I opened that can, what a frustration I was. I start to have a look inside of the can and outside the can in the label. I said, this is not fair, because they put the wrong label in this can. Because in the label says, we have it, but inside, just black beans. Just black beans and some little stuff. I could say this is pork. I could disrespect pork, because that was not pork, actually. And I said, this is not fair. So Christianity sometimes becomes religion, and when people start to put labels on you. Yeah. When people start to put label that makes you to be something that you are not. We are not called to be a label. We are called to be pure Christians that will express Christianity, that will express Jesus from inside out. We don't need to put any label, I'm a Christian. The way you speak will tell it. The way you behave will tell it. The way you work will tell it. Nothing, you cannot deny anything about Christianity when it's very genuine inside of your heart, not by label. If you have Christianity just as a label, you are in trouble. Because people sometimes will open this can and they will not find what the label is saying. So it's a great responsibility. So, by the way, I want to tell again, if you have a sunrise sticker in your car, behave yourself when you are driving. Because there is a label there, you belong to Sunrise Church. All right? If you go in the wrong way, or if you give a sign to somebody, if you use F words when you are driving, please take this sunrise sticker from your car. Because people will see it and they will say, can you see? People from Sunrise, they use F word. Then you put all in the same pan, the same can, okay? So it's not. But making up doesn't make you a good Christian. Jesus does. Amen. When he comes in a genuine way inside of our hearts, actually we have transformation in our hearts. Amen. Amen? Amen. That's why people still, they are in the church, they come, they worship, they give tithes and offering, and we still see people in depression. Mm-hmm. Not in this church, because this church is perfect. We still see people in trouble. We still see people giving a bad testimony sometimes. Why? Because we are trying to put a label outside of us instead of allowing Jesus to live inside of us and express it through our behavior, through our attitude. Let me tell you a very short story. There's a little story. Please pay attention. There was a man who was suffering from deep, deep depression. Under that sadness, he began to go to specialists trying to solve his problem. After going to many psychologists, psychoanalysts, yeah, doing lots of sessions of therapy and having no success, the last specialist said to him, "We have all done for you everything that science taught us to do, and we have had no success with you. You are still in depression. You are still sad." Therefore, the last doctor said, "My advice to you is for you to go to the circles that is set in our city. Go there, because there is a clown there. He's a very good clown, and he makes everyone to laugh. And I believe if you go there in the circles for one or two nights, you're gonna be laughing a lot and you're gonna feel better. Do this." So that man said to the doctor, "Doctor, you are not understanding. I work for that circus, and I am that clown." He used to make everyone happy, but he wasn't. He used to make everyone laugh, but he was crying from inside. What is it, friend? This is what religion do in our lives. Try to make us somebody that we are not. Try to make us do something that is not part of our life. But what should we do facing this passage and facing this story of the clown? Once you meet Jesus, remove the old man. Say with me, old man.
Old
nature.
Old
nature. Number two, renew in the spirit of your mind by God's perspective. Start to see your life by God's perspective, not your perspective anymore. So things that is still impossible for you, now is possible for God.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Put on new man. Put on the new man created in true righteousness and holiness.
Amen.
Not to be led by your old nature. So, having said that, what does it mean in a practical way? I'm going to give you some tips for you. Therefore, be authentic, not led by fake standards.
Amen. Ooh, I love
that. Be authentic. Could you tell somebody, be yourself.
Be yourself.
Be yourself. Be authentic, not led by fake standards. Because the Bible says, we just read it, verse 25, therefore, putting away lying, let one of you speak truth with his neighbor, for we are members of one another. So if you used to lie when before Jesus, now speak the truth. Do your effort into this mission. Receive it as a mission for you. I'm not going to lie anymore. Even though it's going to be hard for me, but I'm going to tell the truth everyone. To everyone. And I'm not going to lie anymore. So we have to be authentic. Because when we are authentic, any fake standards, any fake principles will not take space in your heart.
Amen.
Amen?
Amen?
Second tip, don't let the anger control you.
Yeah.
Wow, come on, man. You know when you're, no. If you say a word to me, I'm gonna fly over you. I'm gonna kill you. I'm gonna punch you until you say, I surrender. No. The Bible says, be angry. You can be angry. Okay? You can be angry and not sin. Why? Because becoming angry is not a sin. It's not a sin. Oh, well, some people, they feel very uncomfortable for being angry sometimes. And they think they are sinning. No, you didn't sin yet. But I would say, becoming angry is a pre-sin. It's the anteroom of sinning. All right? So be careful. Until you feel angry, it's just a normal reaction in our bodies. All right? But when the Holy Spirit controls you, that feeling of being angry will not take over you. Will not bring dominion upon your life. Because after being angry, you can kill somebody. You can punch somebody. You can say F words. You can give some sign. That's the reaction after being angry. So until you feel angry, it's perfect normal. Some people there say, oh, wow, praise God, hallelujah. Yeah, it's perfect normal. I feel angry. I can't say every time, but so many times during the week. And I normally say, if it wasn't Jesus in my life, I would hang somebody by then. Because I'm not a Superman. I'm not super holy. Some people, they think, pastor, they are super holy. Dun, dun, dun. No, even though I'm wearing red today, and there's no big S here. I'm not a Superman. I'm man like you. And sometimes I really want to hang somebody by the neck. Just words, okay? But if I could. I don't have rope. Oh, how is it? But don't let the angry control your life. Because when this start to happen, you lose your own control. And let me tell you something. It's not because Jesus lives inside of you, he's going to forbid you doing something wrong. This is your decision. He's there if you ask him for a guidance. He's there for you to say, Holy Spirit, control my life. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. My grandma used to say, before you do anything, count until 10. Sometimes I need to count until 100. Because 10 is not enough. Okay? But when you count until 10 or 20, I don't know your limit. Every single one of us, we have our own boundary. Maybe your boundary is 30, okay? Whatever. But count before doing something by your impulse. Say with me, impulse. What is impulse? Impulse is when someone does something against you and you react straight away. They say A, you say B. They say C, and you say F. All the F's you know. But those who are controlled by the Holy Spirit, they count until 50, 100, but they will not react in order to sin. They stop in the anger situation. And they control themselves because the Holy Spirit is already there inside of you. Let me just give you a good news. You don't need to call the Holy Spirit to come to you when you need. He's already there. That was in the Old Testament. When Samson overcame his enemies, when Samson tore the lion, the Bible says, and the Holy Spirit came upon him. And after the mission, he left him. But from Jesus, from the Pentecost on, from the book of Acts on, we have the Holy Spirit living inside of us. Amen. He's always there. If you need, if you don't need, he's there. And he doesn't pay the rent. Amen. He's always there, living inside of you. So don't let the anger control you. Amen?
Amen.
Feel anger, no problem. But control yourself, not going on feeding this way. Another tip, be trustful and reliable. Hello?
Yeah.
Be trustful and reliable. The verse says, verse 28, let him who stole steal no longer, but rather let him labor, working with his hands what is good, that he may have something to give him who has need. Look at this. What the Bible, what Jesus, when he comes inside of us, what a transformation he brings. He said, those who used to steal, will not steal anymore. Now he's going to work. He's going to be productive. He's going to have for himself and also for somebody that is not in that position.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. So instead of being so dependent on things, now you are supplier. Could you tell somebody, you are now supplier.
You are now supplier.
You are supplier now. Amen. That time I need something. And for this needing something, sometimes they used to steal. They used to, you know, to rob somebody. And when we say steal and rob, I'm not saying just robbing something. Let me tell you just a good tip. If you are in your work and your boss is not there that afternoon, your time to leave is 5, and you say, wow, my boss is not around this afternoon, I'm gonna leave at 4. You are stealing 1 hour of your job. Hello? All right? You can tell your boss, if I finish before can I live before? Yes, you can live. Then you do this. But if you live 1 hour before without your boss, your employer, without him knowing that, you are stealing time because you are paid to work until 5 and you left 4. You are stealing 1 hour. And God is not on it. Amen? So when we say steal, it's not stealing things only. Sometimes we steal people, sometimes we steal stuff, and we don't ever know it. But the Bible says, let the one who used to steal, steal no longer. Now he's going to work for himself and supply somebody else. Isn't that great?
Yeah.
Amen.
Amen.
What a transformation, amen? What a transformation. Another tip, don't waste. Are you enjoying this tip?
Yes.
Don't waste your time saying bad and foolish things. Mm-hmm. Hello?
Yes.
All right? I know you guys love watching Friends. I know you guys love watching, you know, I don't know, Coronation Street or something. You know. I just prefer American Idol, X Factor, something that's gonna see somebody, you know, going up from nothing. And but do not waste your time for things that doesn't work in your life. It's just wasting time. If you have kids, spend that time with them. Laying down in the carpet with them and play with them. They will be very happy. If you don't have kids, do it with your wife. She's gonna be very happy. Amen. So let no corrupt, verse 29, let no corrupt words proceed out of your mouth, but what is good for necessary edification. Say with me, edification.
Edification.
What is it? What is edification? It's to edify something, it's to construct something, to build something. Every time you say a word that's gonna build yourself or build somebody else. Do not destroy anyone with words. Put them up. Put them up always. No, you can do this. No, you can do this. No, you can do this.
Yes, you can.
Yes, yes, you can. Together we can. This is a very famous word, isn't it? Together we can. So let's put people up. Let's build people up. Don't use any words that will put people down. Destroy people. And here, there is another tip. Don't tell your dream. Don't tell your desire to anyone on your way. Tell people your dreams, your plans, for people, to people that will help you get in the podium. Will help you getting there.
Yeah.
Amen? Yeah. Normally people in the church, they do this. Some not.
Not all.
Some, not all. People from another church, for example. You guys are perfect. Choose with wise thinking who is going to be hearing your plans and dreams, because they will be encouraging you. They are going to be imparting in you. You know, some people may say, oh wow, I think you are thinking very high. I think it's too high for you. But don't worry, if your dream comes from God, this is gonna happen.
Amen.
This is gonna happen. I tell you people, if I would hear some people in my life, I wouldn't be here today. Seriously. Okay? Because in their minds, they didn't think in the way God thinks. They didn't have the vision God had for you and for me. Amen?
Amen.
God has a plan. And for this plan to be fulfilled, he just needs two things. His action and your acceptance. If you say, yes, I can do this, you can do this. You can do this. I always give this example also. He's not around us anymore, this boy, this young man. But he went to university in the north. I'm talking about Gabriel, little Gabriel. When he came to our church, and he became very friend with Gustavo, okay? So when he saw Gustavo playing all the instruments, he started to say, I'm gonna do the same. I'm gonna do the same. And one day he was in my car, my wife and I, he was in the back seat, and he said, Pastor, one day I'm gonna be playing instruments like Gustavo. I didn't laugh because I'm very educated guy. I'm very polite guy. But my desire is to laugh. Because that man, I'm a musician, I know who is gifted to be a musician. And that boy, he didn't even clap on time. You know, when we are singing, we're worshiping, he was clapping. And he said, I'm gonna be playing instruments like Gustav. I didn't laugh because I don't do this normally. But that was my desire. Inside, I laughed. Inside, I said, no, you will never do this. But you know what? He did. He did. When he went to the university, he was playing bass, guitar, and sometimes he played keyboard. If he had more time in this church, he was playing drum also. He had no time. He's in the university now. He's very, I wouldn't say he's the best musician, but what he said, he did. He plays guitar, he plays bass, and he plays keyboard. Someone who wasn't even able to clap on time. But he didn't. Why? Because he believed in the one who was inside of him.
Amen.
He was not expecting my word to say, yes, you can. Because I wouldn't say, yes, you can for him. Yeah. Not for him. Not for him. Because I knew the way he used to clap. And singing, when he was singing, horrible. Out, totally out of the tune. So that boy, friends, that boy, that young man is a miracle. If you don't believe in miracle, you must see him. Because he doesn't clap on time, he doesn't sing in the tune, but he's a musician. So that broke my preconcept that if you are not gifted, as a musician, you'll never be a musician. That broke my concept. Now I believe in anything. If you tell me I'm gonna play one day, I will encourage you because I know it's possible. I know it's possible. And I said to him, he knows about it. That's why I'm telling you, because I said to him, remember Gabriel, when you said it, I didn't laugh because I respect you, but I didn't believe in that. But well done, God made it in you. That was a miracle. That was a miracle. Amen. So God can do anything if you believe this. Amen. Spend your time in good thing. Invest your time in good thing, and you're gonna see results from this. The last tip, pleasing the Holy Spirit instead of quenching him. Pleasing the Holy Spirit instead of quenching him. Verse 30th said, and do not grieve the Holy Spirit. Do you know it's possible to grieve the Holy Spirit when you don't do what he's asking you to do? When you don't follow his instructions? When you don't do what the Bible says? When God is telling you what to do and you go in the different direction, you grieve the Holy Spirit. It doesn't mean he left your heart, all right? Don't understand that when the Holy Spirit grieves about you, he leaves you. No, no, no. Sometimes you grieve your parents. Sometimes you grieve your brother, but you don't leave the house. Why the Holy Spirit will do this? He will never leave you. He will never leave you. He will never forsake you. Amen.
Amen.
Even though sometimes you grieve him. He cries, but he will never leave.
Amen.
Amen. Pleasing the Holy Spirit. Do not grieve the Holy Spirit by whom you were sealed for the day of redemption.
Amen.
Amen. This is God's plan. And I love this verse in 1 Thessalonians 5:19 says, do not quench the Holy Spirit. Do not quench the Holy Spirit. Don't bring anything that will damage him. Give me the words that will be the same thing. Quench.
Kill. Kill. Crush.
Bring pressure.
Mm-hmm.
Make it fade away.
Yeah.
Okay? Do not quench the Holy Spirit. But do something that will please the Holy Spirit's heart. Amen?
Yeah.
So, what about those tips? Are we available to live those tips in our lives?
Yeah.
Or
yeah.
Christian life is that kind of label you put on you on your, you know, in your life, in your chest, and I'm a Christian. No, you don't need to do this. Behave like this. Behave like a good Christian, and you're gonna share Jesus everywhere.
Amen.
People will desire to be like you.
Amen.
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 Friends, I love when people come to me and say, wow, I really want to be a preacher. And we have lots of guys in this church that they said it already. And I'm trying to improve myself, otherwise I'm gonna lose my place. I love it, friends. Please do it. Do it. I'm gonna be encouraging you. Your time is gonna come. Your time is gonna come. Your time is going to come. Amen?
Amen?
Could you tell somebody, your time is going to come.
Amen.
Your time is going to come. Let's all stand up. Let's all stand up in the name of Jesus.
Amen.
Let's pray right now. Thank you, Jesus, for your plan. Thank you for restoring us. Thank you for giving us a new life. And this new life is just about you, Lord, not about us. This new life is all we need to live a true Christian life. Lord, prevent us from any label. We are not actor and actress to live our lives representing, pretending, being someone or something that we are not. Christian life is not about pretending. Christian life is something pure that come from inside out. And my prayer this morning, Lord, is that your Holy Spirit, who lives inside of us, tell us the best way to live. Help us not to grieve you, not to do anything that will make you sad, to quench your presence inside of us. But in opposite, let us do things that is going to please your heart. It's going to make you happy. Our desire, Lord Jesus, is to serve you. Is to be a good Christian. To help one another. To use words of encouragement. not words that will destroy people. Help us, Lord, to be such an example. I know some people around us, sometimes they mock us in a school environment, or in our work environment. Sometimes they mock us just because we say we are Christians. But I know their eyes are on us. And when they see good fruit from us, they start to realize that this is the best life to be. Let people desire to have Jesus when they see us. Such an example. Example of life. Example of dignity. Faithfulness. Let us be trustful. When we work, let us do our best. Not only when our boss is around. Even though we are alone in that place, let us do our best. Because our God is in there. The Holy Spirit is in there. Jesus is in there, looking at us, watching us. And He sees when we do things wrong. He sees when we please His heart. And that's our desire. That's our desire. My encouragement this morning, Lord, is for us, for this church, not to leave any kind of label to deceive people, but for a true Christianity that comes from inside out and transforms lives. If our Christianity is not transforming lives, there is something we have to do urgently. And we want to do this today. Let us bring it into reflection. How am I going in my Christian life? In my day-by-day living? Am I showing Jesus? Am I showing God's love? Am I showing compassion? Or am I just judging people and telling people off? Holy Spirit, change our behavior. Change the way we think. Change the way we live. Every time we need it, Lord. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. Let me pray for you right now. If you are here this morning and you are very faithful coming every Sunday, but you feel in your heart that Monday to Friday your life is not very accurate, I just want to pray for you. You don't need to feel embarrassed. Just come forward. I want to pray for you. For the presence of the Holy Spirit be always in your life. That you're going to be a Christian everywhere. And every day. Not just on Sunday among brothers and sisters, which is very easy. Especially when you are outside. Let people see. Let people tell you, I want what you have. I don't know what you have, but I know there's something special inside of you. And you're gonna tell them, this something is a person. It's Jesus Christ inside of me. I just pray for you. In the name of Jesus, the presence of the Holy Spirit come upon your life. Presence of the Holy Spirit come upon your life. full of your presence. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. Receive the amazing presence of God.